And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Say they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the works with signs following. Hallelujah. Luke 24, from verses 46, it says, and it said to them, you know, verse 45, the Bible says, he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. It says, and it said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. So, a quick one we've been looking at in the last couple of weeks. We said, these instructions were Jesus' instructions within the 40 days when he taught them. Hallelujah. But some people said is that this instruction becomes the primary assignment for the believer. So the believer has a primary assignment in the earth. And what is the primary assignment? Make disciples. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. So the believer has a primary role, a primary assignment in the earth. Hallelujah. So for those of us who are around on Sunday, just a bit of some things we said on Sunday, we said it will follow the same pattern in the Genesis. You know, if you get to the Bible, there's something you must always watch out for. You must watch out for pattern. Hallelujah. Pattern. So we said it will follow the same pattern from the Genesis. God will have to give instructions to his man. So this instruction is not for everybody. It's for everyone who is in Christ. Everyone who is saved. Hallelujah. So we find the same instruction given to the man who believes in the message of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. We found it in Adam. We found it in Abel, right? But in Adam, we found it in Abel. We found it in Noah. We found it in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not in Ishmael, not in Saul. I mean, not in Esau, but it will be in Jacob and Isaac. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So what would it be? They will be given instruction because of their obedience to the message. Hallelujah. Amen. So this instruction of everyone to be for the man in his image. Glory to God. And we said they bore the image of God. Well, that was that? They bore the image of God. But at what point did they now receive the image of God? At the resurrection. Right? Did we say that? Okay. Glory to God. So a few of those things we're going to look at as we progress on that teaching on Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. So a few things to look at today is the fact that we said that all the believers' decision in life must be made around this primary assignment. This primary assignment, you know, when you do mathematics, there's what they call the constant, which is K, and the variable. Remember that? Right? Have the K and the variable. Right? So we say the variable is is subject to change. But the constant, irrespective of what happened around the variables, it remains constant. That's why it's called constant. So this assignment is constant. Hallelujah. The variable could be your decisions in life. But those decisions must be built around this constant. Hallelujah. Very vital. Very vital. Hallelujah. So a major factor of that instruction is what Jesus said to them. One, what Jesus said to them is one, confirming his deity or confirming himself as God when he says, I am. That's the use of the word, I am. Now the use of the word, I am, is a very vital word that is separated for God. We've been looking at that in the past couple of weeks too. Amen. I am, Hayah, is a word for God. So when God said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, it says, I am light. The use of that word Hayah again comes in there. I am all. I am light. You know, is a word for the Jews. They know that word I am is reserved for God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came in the scene, in the incarnation, Jesus used that same word, personal, that same word that is kept for God, he used it for himself, showing you that he is the God of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Some people are going to see when we begin to get into a series of teachings, especially on revelation of God, that should start, that we should have at least six sections within the break that is coming of the layer break. We have like six sections. Something you begin to see, some people begin to see, will be around that part too. Amen. Amen. So when you say I am then, so it takes you back to origins. It takes you back to he is the God of scriptures. Hallelujah. He is. Glory to God. Amen. So when you get to John 8, the Bible says, he said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Watch that. I am the same word. In that same chapter, John 8, you know, in that same chapter of John 8, if you go down to verses 49 to 51, they keep asking him, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew what he was talking about, and they picked up stones. He said he is the I am of Abraham. That is what echo am I. Hallelujah. He said, I am Abraham's echo am I. Okay, follow me. I'm Abraham's I am. And they say, wow. Amen. You know, someone once said, Jesus never claimed to be God. No. One of the reasons why they killed him, you look at John very well, they said, how can you, who is man, say you are God? Did you see that? You say you are God. Because he's God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it goes back to the fundamentals of how you read your Bible. They read the scriptures Jesus is reading, and yet they couldn't see factor or see pattern that Jesus is God. Very vital. So it shows you a whole lot about how we should read our Bible. A whole lot. How we should read our Bible. How we should comprehend the truths that are written in the scriptures. Only following. How we should comprehend the truths written there. Like I said earlier on, that there are patterns you have to look out for when you read the Bible. Hallelujah. Patterns of the instructions. God will give instructions to the men in his image, his men, his people. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when he uses that, so a fact of that instruction, like I said earlier on, is the fact that Jesus said to them, I am with you always. I am with you always. Very vital. God walking with them. Very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I am with you always. And since the instruction will be carried out in the local church, when he says, I am with you always, also point to the fact of him being with them in their gathering. Hallelujah. I am with you always. He pointed to the fact that he's going to be with them in their gathering. He's going to be in them with them. Hallelujah. Very vital. Very strong also. God walking with them. Together. With them. Hallelujah. So that is a very important consciousness that a believer should have. Hallelujah. Should have. He should never lose sight of it that God is with us. God is with us. Don't be like that fellow who said God left his children with lions. Say God just left the children. Left the children with lions. And he was referring to the devil as lions. And God shut us up in a room with lions and left. And left with the key. We can't even run out. That's nonsense. Hallelujah. It's right with us. Hallelujah. He's
right with us.
Hallelujah. So that this consciousness of God with us will bring about that, will bring to bear the sense or the sense of reverence amongst one another, reverence among one another, and for the gathering, you must have reverence, because you know God is with us. Hallelujah. You just have that consciousness, the consciousness of reverence for the gathering. God is there. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, Jesus will say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, in my authority, he says, there am I in the midst of them. So that means in the gathering, every believer's gathering is an encounter. I say that the whole lot. That means a believer shouldn't come to a service sick and leave sick. It's an encounter. He might not necessarily be a healing meeting, just when the word of God starts. A sign of the resurrection, a sign of the works of Christ is healing. Hallelujah. So that means when the scripture has been taught, you can receive healing for your body. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. God is there. It's supernatural. And now take me to the second one and say, it brings to bear the consciousness of the miraculous. That's what I just said now. Supernatural. So that means I can come to believers meeting, even if it's a teaching meeting, a prayer meeting, and then expect the miraculous. Hallelujah. I can be expectant of the miraculous. And may not necessarily be a healing meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It also brings to bear the consciousness of caution. 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 You must be cautious. You don't throw caution into the wind when you are with believers. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. There's something we're going to deal with in some coming in the coming days about what you must have heard to say that to. I have defended that once. And I guess we still have to do much more defense on it too. Amen. Amen. When you must have heard it. Some people say, touch. People don't want to touch. I've been claiming holy. When they leave church, I don't even have holy. Even if I don't subscribe to believers misbehaving in profession and in, but you know, how do you expect them to behave in church for? Hallelujah. Do you come to church and just be rude? Oh, hallelujah. You must treat that place sacred. Some of you are very sacred. One of them will come to church and be using F word. What about the non-F word outside? That is why the church will train them. Amen. That's why they have been taught God's word. Yeah, there is no entry. No, don't say that. You're not the pastor. Hallelujah. I'm telling someone you're not the pastor. I'm telling someone just few hours before now. Just few hours before now. I see. You're not the pastor. You know what it means to be a pastor. Because you think being a pastor just to stand up and preach. Well, a pastor has his own problem. Personal problem. But he leaves that aside. So attend to what happens to his problem. See, you don't see that they are preaching. You're playing the salmon notes. No. Hey there. You are feeling pains in your body. You have problems you need to pray about. When you left it all, and you're praying for someone else. How's it about? Sacrifice. So, there are some things that you wouldn't see as a pastor. That you, when you find people saying, you're just looking at them. They don't see. Amen. You know how important one person is to a pastor. Amen. Let's continue. So caution. Hallelujah. So you don't throw caution to the wind. Hallelujah. Amen. And one attitude of people that we find people who once they say just that they are about to throw caution into the wind. You ask people in church. And you see somebody that say, I am not your age, just know he wants to throw caution into the wind. Watch out for that. And just say, good, the person you'll be talking to might be somebody that is ahead of him, yes, and the person is in Jesus.
Yeah, he's just about to throw caution. Just watch that. As the next thing he will say, he just will throw caution to me.
Amen. But you don't do that in church.
Hallelujah. Swallow it.
When you see that, swallow it.
Amen.
Be cautious.
Hallelujah. Lastly, they bring to bear the consciousness of how God is leading us as a family. They will know that God is in our midst. We're going to treat that the last part of this series though.
Hallelujah.
How we treat the gathering again.
Amen.
I heard of a dear pastor who's going to be with the Lord, Pastor Christopher, that he taught a 52 sections on punctuality. 52 sections. You're not teaching punctuality from the Bible.
Amen.
Because you have to learn it.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
How you treat the gathering is very vital.
How you treat the gathering is very vital. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a theme scripture. I've not used that word for a long time. Theme scripture. He says, now concerning spiritual brethren, I will not have you ignorant, right? And we said, Paul was dealing with conduct of believers who are behaving as men. Permit me to use that. But that was how Paul used it. Men, carnal men. They were walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was dealing with their conduct in the gathering. You know that what Paul was dealing with, right? You know he was dealing with, most of what he dealt with was their conduct in the gathering. Amen. Was dealing with their conduct in the gathering. And they pointed their attention to the fact that what we should have in the gathering should be pneumaticals. Hallelujah. Spiritual. He pointed them to the Spirit amongst them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Spirit amongst them. Very vital. Remember, these guys were theology. So they know the Spirit. They know the charisma. They know about the charisma. But Paul said, I wouldn't want to ignorant. I know you. That is willful ignorance. Amen. Amen. So he began to teach them again. And then he pointed out that, don't you know, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Listen up. I'm not talking to one person, it's talking to their gathering. That means their gathering, hallelujah, their gathering is he pointed something to them that God is with them as they gather. Hallelujah. And that gathering is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that the Spirit of God dwells with them. Hallelujah. So showing you that when we gather, what should come to bear, what we should be conscious that we should have is that we have the same common identity. What about what we said? The same common, our common identity, which is the Spirit. Very vital. Never lose sight of it at any point.
Amen.
It is to lose sight of the fact that we have a common identity. We have God in our midst, the Spirit of God in us and with us. To lose sight of it in the gathering is to begin to misbehave. What brethren who gets to misbehave? You find out that they were not conscious of it. Hallelujah. They were not conscious of it. Hallelujah. Amen. So very vital. The gathering. So last time we began looking at the gathering, right? I would say in the gathering we are a family. Did you say that? The gathering is a family. Heaven on the earth. And that is via the gathering that God wants to build his temple in all the earth. Was that what we said? Is that what we said? Amen. So it's very unwise for a believer to say things like, if you put your hand into the window of another church, you touch another church. You know, people say that most. Don't say that. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't say that.
They can say it as a joke, but don't be there. Don't even encourage it. They are still everywhere. Don't say such nonsense. Because you know what God is doing in the earth.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know what God is doing in the earth. Just the sense for Abidjan Church alone.
Yeah?
It's not sufficient for the whole of Ocean. Hope you know that. Hope you know that.
Glory to God.
So don't say that. Hallelujah.
Amen. Don't say that. Don't say things like that. Amen. So that's what God is doing in the earth. And we must be conscious of it. So, we said that gathering is a family. Right? We said we are sons, we are saved, we are sanctified. Paul said that to them. We are sons, we are saved, we are sanctified. But we say, inasmuch as this is what we have as a common identity, yet, we said, God has put control, order, right? God has put order in the local church. God has put order in the local church. Order. And that order will be the leadership. In 1 Corinthians, quickly, chapter 12, verse 28, it says, and God has set some in the church. Or God has set this in the church, sorry. It says, firstly, apostles. I put it like this. Proton apostolos. Doulos. Apostolos, which is first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers. Now, and we say with the use of the first, second and third there was not in terms of this is bigger or higher than this, but it's talking about just like listing it. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3. But it was listed in an order that we will later see. Hallelujah. Not today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But take it today that he was listing that. Not in any hierarchy. Not in any hierarchy. It just said, God has set this in the church. Hope you're following me. God has set this in the church. Hallelujah. The apostles, and you know, when he now draws in a divider, was when he used the word epita, which is the word after that. Is it that? That is the word after that. When he used the word after that, what you find afterwards will be what he had already listed as the gift of the Spirit, set for help and government, which I said I'm going to teach you that in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. Help and government. But for the sake of this teaching, you'll find this all in the gathering. You understand? So that means what Paul has done for us is that Paul has said in the gathering, you will also have the leadership. Hallelujah. And we will call it God has set it up. God has set it up. So we began asking ourselves the question, what is the role of the leadership in the local church? What is it all? And we saw a few. From Exodus chapter 18, we saw Jethro and Moses. Jethro and Moses. Quickly rush to Exodus 18 and let's see a few things there. Exodus 18 quickly. Glory to God. Look at verses 21. He said, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of multitudes, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Just like having them in cells. Pastoral care unit. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Fellowship. Say, and let them judge them. Did you see that? Let them judge the people. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it will be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Now you need the word judge them. Hallelujah. A shorthand for what you find Moses to be doing. Now look, go a bit to verses 15. Verse 16, look at the, you want to open the word judge. He says, and Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God.
This is that to inquire of God, like to ask questions.
Right? Inquire, ask questions, to be taught. That's what it means. To be taught.
To inquire of God. Where am I? Okay. And when they have matters, they come to me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make known to them the statue of God and his laws.
Did you see? Did you see what is called the judge there? To make known. Not just to settle disputes, but to make known. Did you see that? So that means the role of a pastor, he goes beyond that of teaching to that of taking, takes care of the land. What it means. Hallelujah. So that means what this able man will do is that to take out the bodies of Moses will be, they will share in the responsibility of Moses.
Hallelujah. In the responsibility of Moses. So that means, when you talk about the leadership, sometimes the leadership can be several people,
right? Right? Can be several people, but there is, those several people can be carrying out the task of the pastor or the one person. I hope you are following me.
Okay, hearing me.
Very good. So what are they doing? They are sharing in the body. So anyone who is in leadership position, listen, is actually sharing in the body of the pastor.
Okay, following me. Amen. Sharing in the body of the pastor. Very vital.
But that means anything that they do is what the pastor is supposed to be doing. Or what the pastor is doing is what they are doing.
Hope you are following me. So, what is Moses now doing?
Moses is now taking care of these 100 leaders who will take care of the 10 to 100 50. Hope you are following
me. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. Amen. So, that said, we said it goes beyond just teaching. It goes into what? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul will bring in what Moses has said there. He said in verses 11, he said, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, pastoring teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now look at what he said. He said, for the perfecting, that is what, for the equipping of the saints. Equipping there is an all collective word. It's not just teaching them, no. It goes beyond that. It's the word equipping. That's the word charatismos. To make one fit. To make one fit. Hallelujah. So equipping there, charatismos, is to make one fit. One well furnished. Hallelujah. And we said in equipping us, we have teaching, right? Teaching is part of how we are equipped. Primarily, yes.
Hallelujah. Primarily, yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Equipping of the saints. So we say we have teaching, we have rebuke, we have correction, we have instructions in righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We have reproof also.
Glory to God. So the role of the pastor is that they equip us. Hebrews chapter 13, right of Hebrews, will put it this way in verses 17. He said, obey them who have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch over your soul. Is that? He says they watch over your soul.
And then watching over your soul there, yeah, it's not the duty of your earthly father or mother. Except they are your pastors. The duties of, that is the duty of your pastor. Did we say that last week? Hallelujah. It's the duty of your pastor to watch over your soul. God isn't going to ask your physical father, who is your earthly father, about you. No. God is going to ask him about how you think. No. He's going to ask your pastor about you. Okay, everybody. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Therefore, since they watch over our soul, how we treat them becomes very vital. how you treat your pastors, the same way we've spoken about how to treat fellow believers.
Did you? Can you remember we talked about, I taught you about how to treat fellow believers, right?
So how you treat your pastor too will be walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will be pneumaticals.
How you treat them?
One, we said you have to be faithful.
Right? We said that last week.
You have to be faithful to them. You have to be faithful to them. I've heard some stupid people say you can't be faithful to a man. Be faithful to God. I've heard people say that. That's stupid. You don't say that. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't say that. I've heard people say it well. That you can't, you shouldn't be. Who are you? Are you a man pleaser? Don't be a man pleaser. Don't be faithful to man, be faithful to God. How can you? And the person answered, how can you be faithful to God when you're not faithful to man? God you have not seen, you want to be faithful to him. The men he has sent to you are not faithful to them. How can you say you are faithful to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is lack of diligent study. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, last week we saw men who were faithful to Paul. Let's see a few of those guys that were faithful. And we saw how Paul commended people like Aquila and Priscilla, right? That was they staked their life. We saw some of those things last week. But let's see a few. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. It says, is it for this cause I've sent unto you Timotheus. Timotheus, it says, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Did you see that? Who was Timothy faithful to? To Paul. Did you see that? He calls him faithful in the Lord. He said to be faithful in the Lord because he was faithful to Paul. Did you see that? Faithful in the Lord. In Ephesians 6, we find a brother called Tychicus. Ephesians 6 quickly. Ephesians 6 quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 21. It says, but that ye may know my affairs and how I do. Said Pentecost, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Isn't that? He calls him a faithful minister. What's that? You find Tychicus in Acts of Apostles, quickly, chapter 20. Let's move on to Acts 20. Let's see that. It is, and they accompanied him to Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. Did you see that? So you find him in Acts of Apostles chapter 20. Paul will speak of him again in Colossians 4. Colossians 4 verses 9. It says, verse 7. It says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He calls him faithful. Faithful. Hallelujah. Faithful. So we said, every pastor wants a faithful follower. A faithful membership. Faithful. Hallelujah. In fact, for you to be called a deacon, one of the characters of a deacon, even before you become a bishop. Amen. Amen. Before you become a bishop, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11, it says he must be faithful in all things. Is that faithful? Faithful. So that means every worker, a deacon is a worker in church. One of the qualities of a worker, before a pastor can put you over any affairs, he must have tested your faithfulness. You must be one who is seen to be faithful. Because no pastor wants to work with an unfaithful person. Amen. No pastor wants to. In fact, we saw someone last week by name Alexandra. Alexandra. Alexandra left Paul. He left him. Hallelujah. Amen. Alexandra, we saw that last week, right? Alexandra left Paul. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So, look at how faithful Tychicus was. Verse 12, he now sends Tychicus to Ephesus. Did you see that? He sent it because he knows. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at that thought. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Did you see that? Alexander did him much evil. And you know who Alexander was? In fact, scholars will refer to Alexander as one of those faithful, formerly faithful, they're not like ex-faithful. Amen. In 2 Timothy, Paul didn't even say he used to be faithful. No. Amen. Your faithfulness cannot be accounted in the past. Once you stop being faithful, you are no longer faithful. Obey me. Faithfulness is not something you talk about as history. No. It's not historical. You must keep being faithful. That is why in scriptures, what God will reward at the last is not the man who was faithful. It's the man who is faithful to the end. Did you see that? I hope you're following me. That is the person God will reward at last. Not the one that is before the world. The one who is faithful to the end. Hope you're with me. You must be faithful to the end. Not faithful before and stop being faithful and now faithful later. No. It's to the end. He used to be faithful. No. But be faithful to the end. Hope you're following me. So scholars will refer to him as in Acts of Apostles chapter 19 verse 17 as one who stakes himself for Paul. Look at Acts chapter 19. Hallelujah. Better him as one who staked himself for Paul. Acts 19. Verse 33. So scholars refer to this incident or this event here that is the same Alexander. It says, verse 33 says, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. And when he was a Jew, and you read the story, you discover that, okay, and then they put out Paul. Well, so I remember to read there that he was the same person. Hallelujah. But for Paul to say he left me, he shows that he was once with Paul. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:12. That means he was once with Paul. But he left. He left. He can be counted as faithful. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. So faithfulness for the believer is till the end. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 19. Colossians 4. Again. Yes, 19. Let's see someone else. Colossians 4:19. Lesson 19 now. 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Do you see that? He mentioned Demas. Demas was his associate. Demas was his associate. Amen. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he now says in verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me. Did you see that? The same person that was an associate that was with him. He said he has forsaken me. And has loved the present world. Amen. So that means, as a believer, I have to say this, as a believer, as an associate, as a worker, your faithfulness is always being tried. Your faithfulness is always being tried. You must never forget that. Your faithfulness is always being tried. Circumstances will come. It can be personal. Okay, hear me. It can be personal. It can be societal. They will want to make you change allegiance. They will want to make you shift allegiance. No. Hallelujah. You must choose to remain faithful. Faithful to your pastor. But I don't map. No. That's how God has set it. Hallelujah. You must stay faithful. Amen. Yeah. You must do what? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Circumstances will happen. It can even be personal things. Okay, wait, wait. Personal circumstance can take place. See, that will test your faithfulness. We're going to get to loyalty. That will test your faithfulness. You must choose to remain faithful. Okay, wait, wait. You must choose. It's a choice you must make. I stay faithful. Stay faithful to my heart.
I remember one time like that.
I met a sister who said, even before she met me, I've had that encounter now. So just a few weeks, few months back, it came to my mind again, and I stacked those things together. Let me just tell you what they all ended up in. A sister like that I met, she said she had seen me in a vision. Even before I came to see her, that God sent, I'm Jesus. So she spoke to me personally and said she was going to stay faithful, stay diligent to the teaching of the word. It didn't take long. Then she was faithful, at least in yeah, you know, you can't mention faithfulness in the past. But she was faithful in church. She was faithful. I heard of reports from her. But the moment she got married, bam, faithfulness shifted down. Shifted. Circumstances will happen. Was it even married though? She was not even married. First of all, it was NYSC. NYSC took her away. You're like, oh, but when I'm back to Lagos, I'll be committed, I'll be this. As soon as she was done with NYSC, bam. You know, those are people that they convocate to matriculate into matrimonial homes. So she convocated to matriculate into matrimonial homes. So she just finished that marriage. And nothing. As I'm talking to you, it's going to 10 years by next week. By next year, it will be 10 years. The same thing too. I can mention several of them. I know someone that is being called, if you want to talk about my twice, call him my twice. You know what I mean? Call him my twice. In fact, a friend who could be, if anybody has told me that I won't be seeing him yesterday, I will soon the message. Yeah? Because personally, I know what he has taught me. Personally. But yeah.
So that means to say, things will happen that will always want to test your faith. When you must choose to be faithful, faith God's word.
Let not say the other part. It's not for this teaching.
But it was choose to be faithful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It was choose. Sometimes you might have legitimate and may have legitimate things. Look at what he said about them. Have forsaken me, have loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. Now, he has loved this present world by evil people to be very legitimate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it doesn't mean that he's now humanizing and not left for long. It doesn't mean he's not left to be Yahoo Yahoo. Or, no. My name is something legitimate. That just happened. Bam, 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 Japa. This is Japa. Japa. Hoo, hoo. And we didn't find him in the walk again. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah? He went to Thessalonica. Bam! Business deal. Japa. I told someone years back. I said, in the work of ministry, the fellow minister, I said, in the work of ministry, you should mind the kind of doors you walk into. Just mind the kind of doors you walk into. There's some doors you shouldn't walk into. As when doors are put in, you don't just do pew pew pew. No, you have a pastor. You must know how important it is. Hallelujah. I'm going to teach. This is not going to be. I'm going to say this in a letter form for pastors. Amen. You must be wise. It will come back for you. What do you want? You are born again, doesn't mean you won't have those opportunities. Who told you I've not had opportunities to Jaffa? I have. What else do you don't know? But I'll just smile. So that's me. Smile, what do you Jaffa? I don't know. He said, opportunity is just in front of you. Take it and phew. Don't know. I ask the person, what am I going to? I ask the person, what do I? They say, you can jump up. They say, what? They say, what am I going to tell God? And I deal with ministry. He say, no, pastor, you will right there. You have to go, you put someone over, you have to watch it over. He said, I said, no. No, I wasn't trained that way. I'm serious, I wasn't trained that way. Amen. I wasn't trained that way. I was trained to deal with them. On train now? What's the meaning of that? Jaffa. How? Go to God. Go to God. You must take it. Okay, yeah. Because
I'm serving God. It will not happen.
Opportunities will present.
Sharp
opportunities.
Just tell yourself, I will be faithful to this cause. Faithful to this vision. Faithful to this call. Faithful to this rule. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes it can even be
department. You are put over a department. You are also asked to be part of a particular thing. A part of a particular class. You must stay faithful to that thing.
Very vital. Never treat the believers gathering with such kind of frivolity. Hallelujah. And functions. Hallelujah. Amen. I have something in my mind. I say, unfaithful men make the work difficult for their pastor. Unfaithful men. Yeah, make the work difficult. Hallelujah. And I say, your faithfulness to God will imply you are faithful to your pastor. Quickly, let's take a few other things before we go. Be loyal. Number two, be loyal. Be loyal to them. Loyalty implies to show firm and constant allegiance to them. Show firm and constant allegiance. So loyalty can be also in the past. Loyalty can be 99. Someone says, is it that hard? I said, it's very hard. Someone told me, say, no, you can't say it can be 99. I said, I told him, okay, It can be 99. Okay, let's say. I don't know, it can be 99. It can also be 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 Loyalty must be 100.
Loyalty is a firm and constant allegiance.
Constant. Constant and consistent allegiance to a person or an institution. So loyalty. Hallelujah. That means I should never be found in opposition or allow opposition to pass through me to my pastor or the local church. I must not be found in opposition or allow opposition pass through me. We want to deal with all that. So sometimes some people, they know, I was just there, they were just saying it. Yeah, I didn't say any word. You are not loyal. Amen.
You can't get to me through my friend. I say this thing every time. You know, yesterday, I visited one of our branches and somebody told me she had a problem with me. And she was, I liked her because she was very pastor. And I said, what's the problem? Let's talk about it. He said, she doesn't like the fact that she doesn't know how to pray. I'm using her word. That she doesn't know how to put it. But she feels that, and he said that to her is a fault that she has observed me. That I am too loyal to the people that, let her call it loyalty, that I am loyal to the people that are my friends. That even if I see that they are doing something bad, I cannot scold them outside. That everybody is talking about that. Those people that I'm close to, I will protect them even if I'm sure that they are doing something wrong in the office. And I smile. I said, see, she was a bit irritated. I was smiling. I said, yeah, if that is what you got that, you are not wrong. And I told her, I deliberately do it. She was shocked. I said, I am not interested. I deliberately do it. I said, nobody gets to my friend through me. Not in the other one. I said, yeah. Then I told her, did you remember when we were growing up? Maybe they didn't do it for you. All right. Then these are my words. Maybe they didn't do it for you. But the way I was brought up in such a way that if my brother does something bad outside, I will not fight him outside. I will defend him outside. The one who gets home, I will tell him he was wrong. That's how I was trained. And that is what I practice. And I told her, there's none of my friends, ask them, that we don't talk about what they've done outside that is wrong. That the moment I correct you when we're inside and you chose that you were right, I'll leave you. Because there's none of my friends that tells me I'm wrong, that I don't like me. I said, if you're close to me, you know me for that. Once I choose you as my friend, come on, I'm going to stand for you. I don't need anybody to be there. Amen. I'm loyal to my friends. And I'm not going to have too many of them. Okay, yeah, really. You're not going to have too many of them. But the woman, she said, how is that? I said, yeah. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to change. No, I said, that is my configuration. He was led to be loyal to me. Hallelujah. Amen. She was trying to complain about somebody to me. You
are
defending the person.
I see I was just bad. I'm gonna be damned. What do you want to hear from my mouth? And I thought she used to be able. No. You won't find it for me. You won't get that weapon to kill my friend for me. Amen. You won't get it for me because I'm my pastor. I can't be no other. Amen. Amen. Someone in the office had, he saw one of my posts, but with pastor. He said to me, he said, I know annoying guy. I said, the way he said it, the way I was irritated. You know, I was just irritated. Now I know annoying guy. I just looked at your age. You are even my junior. Now I know annoying guy. You know, that already just put me over. Like, okay. You know, but I prefer, because somebody else, just look at me. I can just stay with the person you prefer. Amen.
Let's not have that conversation. Amen. Amen.
I said, if you go for that, you might not like me. So just stay with the person you like. So then it will cross over. Amen. Just so that we will enjoy our colleagueship. Our colleagueship will enter, we drown. Amen. Just know it. Just like you just say, Onoinka. How? It's just like your age mate calling your father by his full name without putting, you know, why your age mate calling your father by his full name?
Bernard Obuina.
Ah, look at him. Ah, show all night. You understand? You want to land in slap? That will confuse his ear.
That's just, I know it sounds funny. People shout, you need to call your pastor. Pastor
Noinka,
with your full mouth.
Anyway. Well, you meet such kind of people on the way. Anyway, so you have to be loyal. Okay, you have to be loyal.
Don't. I say it always. Don't.
Don't allow opposition get through your friend, through you, through your pastor. It's not even good that they were saying it and you left. It was not even good. Hallelujah. At that point in time, you pass out the defense. Amen. You rebuild them. Come on, don't say that to the enemy. Let them know you to be that. That, hey, don't criticize this man, not him. Don't talk about him. Ah! He won. Yeah. Ah!
I mean, I said he won a war. How do you guys call it?
Calamity. Yes. Amen. Don't. So I read something. I said loyalty is not tested when one is dead, when the person you are talking about or the institution is dead, but when there is no one there, no one knows you. Be loyal. Hallelujah. Be loyal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So be like Peter.
Peter is not very funny, Louis.
So be like Peter. When Jesus was being taken and they asked him, do you know he has seen you? They said, yeah, me, Eddie. Yeah, no. Why? I don't even know him.
Tell that. No, don't be like that. Amen. Because you move from here.
I went somewhere, but I knew and said, there's no pastor smart like that. He likes to just teach and I said, you don't know him. Come on. Amen. Glory to God. Don't be that. Amen. You must be loyal to your pastor. Not just your pastor now.
I forgot to say this during when I was talking about
the fellow believers. You must be loyal to believers also. To yourself. To ourselves. You must be loyal to ourselves.
Amen. Okay, follow you. Don't be, there are some people who these are not taught. They know how to jump heads. You know how to jump people's heads.
Even jump is learning. They will jump two heads. Carry this brother's head, jump with that sister's head, carry the sister's head, put it on top of one another. No, don't be that person. Be loyal.
Okay, you with me. The lawyer doesn't mean related local church will not be condoning indolence. You should report that to the pastor. Do you understand me? Come on, you. There are people who talk to the pastor.
But while that is happening, you mustn't,
listen to me, you mustn't now discuss your church member with an outsider, a non-church member. It's wrong.
How can you do that? We're not taking church deeds to the streets.
No. Be loyal to fellow believers.
Okay, be loyal to fellow believers. Be loyal. Be loyal. As you are loyal also to your pastor. Be loyal to your local church. We're going to deal with that next week. Hallelujah. Be loyal to your local church also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because in loyalty is obedience all the time. Be loyal to your pastor. I want to quickly talk about honor quickly. Honor them. Honor them. I'll run through this. Honor The word honor is the word simei. A word that is used in relation to money, value. In your world, money is called simei. Honor is called simei. The same. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It implies you should value your pastor. Your pastor. Value your pastor. Your pastor shouldn't be a secret affair. You know what I mean by secret affair? Nobody knows your pastor. No. People should know you, that this is your pastor. People look at them and say, that is your pastor. Because they've seen you with him. It shouldn't be a secret affair that you're hiding. You just be liking his post. You never share this with my pastor. No. Do that also. Amen. Pledge allegiance to them. Hallelujah. Do that also. Don't be ashamed of your pastors. Okay, the reason I don't know that God does not have a car. You are not well. Amen. Don't do that. The Bible says they watch over your soul. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, Paul said to Timothy, he said, let the elders who rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. You see that? The elders who rule well. We're talking about the leaders there. And he said, uses the word double honor. Something we're looking at, right? Double honor, meaning it's Moses' word. That means you will give to the pastor double honor. Right? The way you honor, I know a lot of people have used this in relation to fathers at home. Paul said, honor your father and mother. So the way you honor them at home, you now give double to your pastor. Good. Nice. That's good. It suffice. But when you use their double honor, you should honor them times two. When I mean that, you know what I mean. How you honor the brethren, you honor your pastor. Hallelujah. For their work's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. For their work's sake. You honor your pastor. Double honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give them double honor. Look at verse 18 and shows how you do it. Verse 18. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. You see that? So you honor them also materially. Honor your pastors materially also. In Galatians 6, it says you communicate to them all good things. Your pastors, your leaders. Not just the pastors, your leaders also. Amen. Your leaders also. Communicate to them all good things. You share with them. Hallelujah. In Philippians 4, verse 13 to 15, Paul had the church of Philippi. They gave to him, they ministered to him, also the Macedonian church. Hallelujah. They minister to him. Hallelujah. In Luke 8 verse 3, Jesus had people who ministered to him also. They ministered out of their substance. Substance they will mean from their work, from their secular work, out of their substance, what they have, from their wealth, from their increase. They ministered to Jesus. They gave materially. Your pastor needs that too. Your leader also needs it. Pastor. I thought my pastor is richer than me. No, communicate to them. That's how scripture teaches you. When you do such things, you are walking in the spirit. Glory to God. You do that also. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 9, let's see something. 2 Corinthians 11 9. Verse 9, it says, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the burden which came from Macedonia supplied. Did you see that? And the things which I have kept myself from being bothersome unto you. So he said the things he lacked, the church of Macedonia supplied, the Macedonian church. But yet, Paul said, I was chargeable to no one. Very vital. Hallelujah. Paul said he was chargeable to no one. In 1 Corinthians, that's in 1 Corinthians. Go, I mean, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. I want us to see something there quickly. Verses 6. It says, or I only and Barnabas have not the power to forbear working, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges, who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof, or who feeded a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock. I say these things as a man, or say not the law. I mean, say these things as a man, or say not the law the same also. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treacheth up the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Did you see that? So it's very vital. Paul here is saying you have to give to your pastors. But yet, it says he was chargeable to no one. Hallelujah. He was chargeable to no one. And it was a why you meet the needs of your pastor, your leaders in church, right? The pastor is not supposed to demand that he is paid. Very vital. That's what Paul is saying. The pastor is not supposed to demand. He said, I was chargeable to no one. That is, I placed no charge on anyone. We're going to see that in 2 Corinthians, just in 2 Corinthians 11, goes down to verses 18. Look at what he said in verse 18. Are you there? Okay, verse 18 now. Maybe I must have missed this thing up. Okay. Okay. Sorry, please a second. I'll be somewhere here. Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians 9. Sorry, that was a mistake. 1 Corinthians 9, 18. Oh, 1 Corinthians 9. Sorry, I was reading something else. 1 Corinthians 9, 18. Sorry, 18. It is, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge. Did you see that? That I abuse not my power in the gospel. Did you see that? So the pastor must not place charge. When you use the word charge, without charge, there is the word adaphanos. Adaphanos. A-D-A-P-A-N-O-S. It's a word that means without placing gratitude, like demanding to be paid. A pastor must not demand to be paid. Hope you're hearing me. Pastor shouldn't demand to be paid, but his needs should be met by the church. Oh, okay, follow me. But you must not place a charge. Pastor shouldn't place a charge there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're with me. Hallelujah. So, that means why you are being given, why the church should communicate their things to you, their substance to you, the pastor shouldn't demand for it. Hallelujah. Shouldn't place charge. Shouldn't have the mindset of godliness is gain. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul will say, we are not as them that peddle the word. Peddle. That word peddle there is the word to adulterate, to corrupt, to retain it. We don't sell it. Hallelujah. You don't sell it. No. You don't preach to it with your stomach. No. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. You shouldn't corrupt the word. But yet, you should be honored with substance. But don't demand for it. Hallelujah. Who are you hearing me? And this will work in the spirit. So therefore, the pastor also should walk in the spirit towards the members. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. The pastor has an obligation towards the members, not just to teach, he must also honor them.
You must also honor them. While teaching you can instruct in every righteousness, you must also honor them.
You must not demand from them. You must not be a huckster to them. Hope you're hearing me. Not that I'm a huckster to them. No. You must teach them. Love them. And feed them well. Hallelujah. And this will be working in the spirit. Have you learned something this evening? Have you learned something this evening?